And now let's go to Senate District N, and we'll first meet the Democratic challenger, Ed Cullinane. Sir, this is your first attempt at public office, is that correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And why'd you decide to take the plunge?
Well, I believe that public service is a great honor, and I would just want to serve the public, and I believe serve the public centrist over special interests. I would listen to my voters, the voters of the district.
Perhaps for those who don't know you, could tell, give us a little bit of your background.
A background, I'm a retired international airline cargo pilot for the past 17 years. My wife and I have made Anchorage our home. Our son is in high school here, and my wife has a small business. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran and past president of the Alaska Vendors Association and current vice president.
And if you have the opportunity to go to Juneau, what's the first bill you would like to introduce?
I would like to help the state make a long-term fiscal plan, because without that long-term fiscal plan, it's like putting the cart before the horse.
Okay. And speaking of the fiscal plan, perhaps part of that might be the permanent fund. At the present time, the permanent fund, some people would say, is actually a dividend fund because that's where the money goes. What do you see as the future of the permanent fund?
Well, having not been too familiar with that before I moved to Alaska, and I believe the permanent fund can be used properly, and if done so, it would be a boon to the citizens of Alaska. It does cost more to live here in Alaska, but I also believe that with the budget surplus that the government has now, that our state government has, and going back to that long-term fiscal plan, we could ensure funding for essential governments if the gas prices ever fell out of the bottom again like they have in the past.
Okay. As you know, the initiative process is in the Constitution, and we have several ballot propositions which people watching this show and ourselves are going to be voting on a week from today. Is the initiative process in Alaska working properly?
I'm not sure if it's working properly. It is working, and I think it'll be up to the voters to decide whether it's working properly or not.
Okay. It occurred to me that perhaps you, with your background in aviation, might want to comment on the opportunities that you see or limitations for aviation in the Alaska economy, commercial aviation.
Well, commercial aviation has come a long way in its infancy here in Alaska. We've seen many accidents. We've also seen many great strides. Cargo and passenger jets used to have to stop here at Anchorage International for fuel, but some of them are now overflying because of the increase in technology. I still believe there's a place for commercial aviation in Alaska, and it's... its services to the entire world, actually.
We've heard quite a bit of discussion, including on this show, of the AGEA process, sponsored by Governor Palin and passed by, adopted by the legislature. Is the AGEA process working?
Well, I'm not really familiar with a whole lot of the AGEA process, and believe that here again, once I get to Juneau, if elected, I would like to put that horse in front of the cart and take the revenues that are coming from the oil and gas pipelines, if it's ever built, and establish a low and a high budget, and then base our future plans on those low and high budgets, so that if we ever had that downfall again in our economy, we would be prepared.
Okay. We've heard a lot about, also this is another subject, heard a lot about a shortage of natural gas in South Central Alaska. If so, what is to be done?
Well, there is a shortage of natural gas in South Central Alaska, and we do have some deep wells off the in the Cook Inlet, as I understand. And in the meantime, until we decide to drill and where to drill, there are lots of alternative energy sources that we can gain power from. For instance, Lake Chocuchamna, about 80 miles west of here, would provide about 330 megawatts of power daily, similar to the Lake Eklutna project.
Let's have your closing statement, sir.
Okay. My name is Ed Cullinane, and I'm running unopposed in the primary election, and I will face opposition in the general election on November 2nd. Every election, voters have the opportunity to make a statement about our values and what we want our government to accomplish. I believe public service is a great honor, and I will always put public interest ahead of special interests. What will Alaska be like in 4 years? I believe we can have a long-term fiscal plan that ensures funding for essential government services like education, public safety, and investments needed to create jobs. I believe we can responsibly increase development of our natural resources while developing alternative energy sources. And I believe our local property taxes would be lower if the state properly supported local government and education. Making these beliefs a reality begins at the ballot box. I will work to achieve these goals if I'm your next senator. My name's Ed Cullinane. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now let's meet the incumbent Senator Liesl McGuire. Welcome.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could just start with, you've served before and you're going back. What would you like to work on if reelected?
Oh, there's so much left to do. The last 2 years, we've accomplished a lot in the energy area. That's been my central focus. And it seems like just when I'd pick something up and bring it all the way to the finish line, I'd discover a new goal, a new hurdle that Alaska needed to cross. So I think, again, incentivizing development in Cook Inlet is a priority, especially here in South Central for our Anchorage residents. Trying to continue development up on the North Slope so that the Trans-Alaska Pipeline continues to move forward, critical. And then the renewable energy that you've heard mentioned here tonight, I think that's a vibrant part of Alaska's future.
In your judgment, is there much the state of Alaska can do to improve the throughput of the pipeline, which has been in decline, the flow of the pipeline, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline?
You bet. I think there is a lot we can do. After all, we're Alaskans. It's our destiny. It's 89% of our economy, and we better believe we can do something about it. I certainly think, as was mentioned earlier, tweaks to ACEs. We don't always get it right in government. We're not experts in taxation. We're certainly not experts in petroleum engineering and business. So I think coming back and tweaking that with the right incentives is important. Continuing that incentive for viscous oil, the heavy oil that sits up there that's very difficult to pull out. Looking at incentives for technology that might bring that out. Continuing oversight and engagement in the debate over the Outer Continental Shelf will also be critical. That Berger field that would have been developed has the potential to bring in 1 million barrels a day of oil into that Trans-Alaska pipeline. So there's much we can do. We should not feel hopeless and not give up on it.
You're an experienced legislator. Have you made up your mind yet on the Pebble Mine project?
This one is tough. I spent much of my life in that area, 22 years. My family had a fishing lodge. I am troubled by the fact that it sits at the headwaters of the largest salmon fishery on the earth, and I'll be honest about that. It also would be the fifth largest copper mine on the earth, and copper being a vital mineral that provides a lot of economic opportunity for the state. I have not made up my mind 100%. I will say that I have more concern over this mine than I do over other mines. I have been largely a pro-development lawmaker. I continue to be so, and I don't want to prohibit it. I've not allowed legislation to go through that would take it off the table, but I do think Alaskans need to be cautious when we have these two very important competing interests.
Maybe we could stick briefly with the environmental questions. Is climate change affecting Alaska? And if so, what is to be done?
Absolutely. I think the question is whether or not it's man-made, what part of it has to do with cyclical scientific events or not. But there's no question that climate change is affecting Alaska. As was mentioned earlier, the Arctic is where we're seeing it the most. And with the crisis comes opportunity. Those trade routes were open for the first time in the Arctic in 2007. I think they stand to change the world and bring tremendous opportunity here to Alaska. At the same time, our indigenous populations that have lived there for thousands of years are seeing changes in their hunting patterns, and I think we need to be cognizant.
For years, we've had candidates come on this show and get elected who say, we need a fiscal plan, yet Alaska doesn't have one. What is to be done? And maybe just a fiscal plan isn't that important. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's really important. I mean, I was part of a group when I first came in when oil was at $11 a barrel, and we were part of a fiscal policy caucus. I have not given up. But as was mentioned earlier, there's a system in place that's very difficult to cap out and plan the budget. That doesn't mean that I've given up on it. I think we need to continue to live within our means. I have and was supportive of a larger capital budget this last year because Alaska did have some surplus revenue, and we're still a growing state. We're in our infancy, and that infrastructure is needed for the next 50 to 100 years of growth. But we do need to manage our budget, and I think in the end, it's going to be up to the governor of the state.
Okay. Let's go to 1 minute of a closing statement from Senator Liesl McGuire, please.
Thank you. To the voters in my district, thank you for the honor of serving you these last 10 years. Thank you for the time that you're making tonight. I know you're getting ready for school tomorrow with many of your children, and obviously we're getting ready to honor the life of Senator Ted Stevens. Thank you for taking this minute to be a part of public service. It's a joy to sit here with six people who, five plus me, that are willing to serve this country and our great state. I look forward to the opportunities that we'll face together, and I want to thank you for being a part of my team. It's you and me together that have moved our district forward. We have great, great times ahead of us, and I'd appreciate your vote this coming Tuesday.
Thank you, Liesl McGuire.